First Baptist Church of Redmond, May 12, 2019, Revelation chapter 13, The Liar.
Please rise. Readings from Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17. He causes all, the small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on the right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Maybe see it.
When Jesus spoke about Satan, he called him the father of lies. And you wonder, why do people believe things that are not true? Some people who have written about Germany in the 1930s up to the mid-1940s have used that as an analogous teaching about the future things that we're looking at that are occurring in the book of Revelation. How could that happen? How could people treat each other this way? How could people say these things are okay and not revolt against it? So you can look back in that era of history and see all the things that were happening and see that people were eager to get on board and say, look at this, look at what has been said, look how right it is. You can see that behind Adolf Hitler is Joseph Goebbels, Minister of Propaganda. And I think they actually called it the Ministry of Propaganda, which was one of the great truths of history, because that's what he was doing, was giving propaganda. If you are interested in a historical study, the video work of Lonnie Riefenstahl, The Power and Glory, I think is what it's called, is one of the great propaganda films from the 1930s, propaganda films of all time. But why was he so successful? There was a great level of support. Today, politics in America is also very polarized. There were all kinds of images I could have taken. I thought that one was just very simple, because you have different people with very different strong views. And when we look at the future, what we looked at last week, the end era, those last 7 years, particularly the last 3.5 years, there is no middle ground. There's going to only be one very strong perspective that is in this world. So some of the things that are happening now are training, preparation, serving as examples of what can happen in history and what will happen as this individual, this first beast out of the sea, out of the ocean. And we've said, if we look at any kind of Old Testament example, and I'm not big into typology, but some of these things we're looking at build right out of the Old Testament, out of the book of Daniel, out of other segments of the Old Testament. So very plainly, we have an individual who is not Jewish, Gentile, but not Jewish. So this individual, again, when does it take place? I'm going to say that the middle of this time is the best way to fit it in, because it's the manifestation of war on the earth as a result of the war that took place in heaven in Revelation 12, where Satan no longer has free access to God's courts. He's now trapped here, the prince of power of the earth, and he is going to demonstrate his anger by causing all sorts of problems. But his military success, his consortium's defeat of, and this is, you know, don't know how else to say it, the King of the North, which we would look at today as possibly analogous to Asian and Europe, Russia's conglomeration, his defeat of them causes the world to take notice, and people say, who is able to stand against him? So they seem to be the dominant world power, at least that engages Israel during those days. He has just defeated the most powerful military group that he could have possibly engaged with. So in the middle of this tribulation time, we'll expand more on this when we look at Revelation 17 and 18. He is now the only strong leader. He is presented as attacking believers. He will be, Bible uses the term worship, however you want to see that as really coming into play by people who don't know God. Believers are warned not to resist his force with force. So we're not people who are alive in those days are not supposed to be saber rattling, are not supposed to be trying to take him out, or not trying to supplement his leadership, because this is part of God's plan for the universe. Just like Daniel and the Jews in Babylon, their job was to persevere. Believers in those last days, cut short because it's so terrible, their job is to persevere, endurance and faith. So the analogy with Daniel's days in Judah are there. It's very hard to do anything by yourself. And even Satan's activity in this individual, so commonly we note as the beast, the Antichrist, he needs a helper. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. This is his helper. When you look at history and you see a very strong leader, this very strong leader will almost always have someone that he can depend on. Modern day history, you can look at South America, where there's one nation having a significant amount of political upheaval. Two individuals are claiming leadership. The individual who is on top right now has a military leader that is with him, that is giving him all the power he needs to be successful. This second individual that we see, a lamb that really functions as a dragon, as we look at this person, had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon, is who we commonly call the false prophet. He appears like one. The idea is that he looks like he's very calm, very rational. You would want to be his friend. But the things he says are entirely different than would match up with his character. He speaks the types of words that the dragon, Satan, would be saying. The beast from the earth. What is his job? His first job is to work on behalf of this first beast, the one of the first 10 verses of Revelation chapter 13. He is the agent through whom this first beast works. This first beast is a political leader. He morphs into being a military leader. But you need to have someone to make sure your activities are carried out. I've been fascinated I like history things, and I've been fascinated recently, even the last couple of days, Barbara saw some of this, I was looking at a description of Andrew Carnegie, you know, Carnegie Hall, that guy. But part of the reason he was so wealthy and powerful is he was like, forgive me, Jack Ma. Jack Ma in China says, how do we get ahead? How does our business work so well? He says, 996. We work from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week. So he expects his people to work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, for his business to be successful. Andrew Carnegie and his helper, Mr. Frick, decided that their steel company would be successful and have the greatest amount of impact for their income if the workers worked 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, by a blast furnace, where many of them would be injured, not be able to work very long. But the issue was the bottom line. He needed to have his cash. So Frick made Carnegie able to be distant from all the things that were happening to cause this to take place. Whoever this individual is, the second beast, the beast from the earth, the false prophet, does the henchman work, the dirty work, behind the scenes for this first individual so he can remain above the fray, be able to speak, be able to cajole, be able to look like things are just fine. He works to make the worship of this first beast universal. We don't know as much about the second beast because he's not the one who's the focus of God's attention, but we see this so we can see that this individual is not alone. He has a helper. By the way, when we look at things and if we try to see what can we squeeze out of this, remember last time we had said that this first beast, the beast from the sea, the ocean has tended to be used as imagery for the non-Jewish world, the Gentiles. The sea of humanity. The second individual, notice he is from the earth. And I mentioned a little bit last time, there are many newspapers around the world that will mention, you know, the world. France has Le Monde. In Israel, it's Haaretz, the land. And for them, Haaretz is not just the world, but it's focused on the land of Israel. And most people who write on this, looking at the Old Testament influence on what God is telling John to write to fulfill Old Testament prophecy, take it that even though this is Greek terminology, they're looking at it as an Old Testament Hebrew usage, and the land, they're focusing on, this is a person who is ethnically Jewish from the land of Israel. So very possibly when this first individual is negotiating the peace of the Middle East, the peace of Israel, because for whatever reason, Israel is uncertain as far as her future. What can she rely on? What should she be doing? And you can put a lot of political intrigue in there. The Bible doesn't tell us. I don't know. I'm not going to guess. But this individual, the first beast, and again, we saw in the book of Daniel, chapter 11, some connection with him in Greece. So perhaps he has Greek ethnicity. Not sure, we're guessing. But the second individual who maybe Jewish would be the one who would be doing press the flesh, doing meetings, meetings between different people, so that when Israel signed off on their agreement, they would say, look, there's a Jewish man who is working with this. Surely he has our best interests in view. Is that possible? Maybe. Whatever we see that this second person is working behind the scenes. And he himself is powerful. Verse 12, he exercises all the authority of the first beast, noticed in his presence. So when the two of them are together, the second one is working as if he was the first. There is no division. They are connected. They are face to face, if you will, as far as authority, power, and influence. By the way, when the Bible speaks about Jesus, remember, this individual is a liar. This individual is trying to make people think that this is the way to go. This is the way things work. And all this stuff you heard about religion, because he's going to cast off and be anti-religion, is another one of his characteristics. And we'll see that later even more. John 1:1, speaking of the word being with God. In your original language of your Bible, that word with has the idea, the source of being face to face. Jesus is face to face with God. This second individual functions, if you will, face to face with this first creature, the Antichrist. What do they do to get people who are going to sign off on this? Verse 13, he performs. Now notice this is striking, because you wonder, why will people go along with this? He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. And he deceives, well, look at that, those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Going backwards to the top in that section, remember, we've seen that this first individual, the Antichrist, was in the Middle East when the consortium from the north came down and initially defeated them, and he came back alive. This political leader seems to have had hands-on leadership of a military group. That was one of the criticisms of Hitler in the 1930s and 40s, is he was not a great military leader, yet he would fly in the face of his generals, military leaders, and tell them what to do, even though it might not have been successful. The Antichrist seems to be doing the same thing. As he is doing these things, this person who is with him, not the Antichrist now who's doing this, but the second person, the liar, if you will, the second beast, does miraculous things that you see taking place in the Bible. Elijah called fire down from heaven. The concept there, verse 13, he performs great signs. Signs authenticate, show that this person does these things because they can. When Jesus saw a man who had a physical handicap, he came up to that man and he said, "Your sins be forgiven you." And the people who were against Jesus in the room said, "Listen, why is he saying that? That's blasphemous. By the way, anybody could say your sins are forgiven you. So what?" Then Jesus, knowing what they're saying, says, "So you will know that I have the power to forgive sins. Arise, roll up your mat, and walk." And the man did that. That sign authenticated that Jesus had the power to forgive sins, because nobody can tell a man who can't walk to get up and walk. These are the same types of terms and phrases that are used speaking of Jesus. When you look at chapter 13, verse 14, he deceives those who dwell on earth. Deceive has the idea of authenticating things that are lies. That's not true. Well, don't let people tell you that's not true. Look at this. Somehow this individual does things that you only see God doing, or God's prophets or Jesus doing in human history. Miraculous signs from above, healings, things that don't work and follow physical and natural laws. This person has power, because Satan is not weak in this world. He's just not as active as he could be. But in the future, you know, I've got that image. Think of the Wizard of Oz. Don't look at the man behind the curtain. These are the kinds of things that happen. And somehow, this individual is going to make an image that is in respect to this first person, the Antichrist. There's going to be an image that becomes an object of worship. And people who will not worship this image. So, remember when Daniel was given by God a vision of the future, he was shown an image, gold, silver, bronze, iron mixed with clay, that would ultimately be destroyed by a stone not made with hands, which is the coming of Jesus at the end of the era to set up his kingdom. Those are nations that Israel would interdict with. The first one, gold, Daniel looked at Nebuchadnezzar and said, "You, O king, are the head of gold." Because that form of government, kingdom, and also he as an individual, were very powerful. And Nebuchadnezzar's reaction was to act like he was from our era and to expand on what was told. "Surely he said that to me because I am powerful and I should show it." So then he constructed an image and caused people to want to go and worship in it or lose their lives, a.k.a. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So there is correlation in human history that when someone is pointed to as being powerful, that it goes all to their head and is misused. So whoever this person is, we're going to an era during that last 3.5 years that is almost pre-modern in how people are acting and thinking and being controlled. Think of a feudal society. Think of a society where everything the king says goes and everyone else needs to be in line. You don't see a republic or democracy in function as far as in control of the world. It is dictatorship. It is the rule and thoughts of one person. And whoever would not worship the image of this beast will be killed. If you look in, when we look in the future to Revelation 19, we will see Scripture speaking of beheadings. So it's very brutal to leave an impact on the people who are watching. But here is the point that so many of us will look at and focus. The image of the beast and the mark on the beast. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. When you look around the world today and see the, I'm going to say, billions of people who are suffering because they live in a bad economy, they have bad leadership skills. About the only political statement I'll make is that when you see people coming to the West, trying to come to the United States, trying to come to Europe. Why are they doing that? They're leaving places in this world where either A, there's no leadership interested in them, or B, the leadership in their area, they don't want anything to do with them either. They wish they were gone. They wish they were gone. If you look at world history, there were times in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and even the 60s of the 19th of the 20th century, the 1900s, where different nations were just as glad that many, if not millions, of their population would die because they did not have to take care of them anymore. It's better if you were not here. So these kinds of activities are happening today as people are migrating. In these future days, there's not going to be any place to migrate to. There's no hope. There's no place that will not be under control of this individual. Monetary collapse takes place. If you look around in the world, you can see places where their economy has incredible inflation. I didn't put in other pictures I saw of people in 1940s Germany taking wheelbarrows of cash to try to buy anything. Why? Your money was inflating by the day. His monetary policy is going to extend on his policy of control. Big issue in the U.S. when we went off the gold standard. Should we go on the silver standard? Should we let our money float? Here, that's not even a point. Here's what you have, and here's what it's worth. So very likely, as the economy of the world collapses, why? God is judging the world. If you look in the Middle East, the United States is having some military activity going over there. Why? Because some people are subject to U.S. sanctions. Their economy is going down. They can't buy as many things. Their population is becoming restless. And one response to that is to focus on another entity and perhaps strike against it. So the beast has the whole world to strike against. So he's trying to focus people's attention away from what they're dealing with and focus on him and whatever he's presenting as their enemy, which is definitely going to be anything religious, Christians especially. So it says, no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark. Now notice this, the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So notice there seems to be some variety. I don't know if that's up to individual choice or if individual people who are managing the world on the behalf of the beast and the false prophet can make things available. Would you like to have this? This is what we're going to use here. Our sector is going to have this so we can tell where you're from. I don't know, but there's something that's going to happen, and there seems to be some variety. Although there's still just a centrality to show who is in control. He begins also a systematic campaign against believers that uses death, who will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Don't have to worry about prisons. No prison population to be concerned about. Dig a hole and they are done. And economic pressure, very likely human history, economic pressure is what causes people to submit. If you can't eat, don't have any place to stay, can't travel, you can't access web, you can't do anything, suddenly you become very, very receptive to the things that you hear. The mark, what is the mark? I don't think this is the mark, but I have this up here because, you know, in English, in Western writing, we have like sixes, three sixes. In the Greek language, the first X is the number for 600. The middle letter, that's a Z, is standing for 60, and that last letter, S, a sigma, is the number for 6. So this is how you would write 666 in the Greek language. What are we talking about? This mark is used of something that is engraved. If I take off my watch and look at it, I can tell you that it's a Timex that supposedly is supposed to last underwater, but I don't know if that's true or not. But you can look and say, oh, if you have something break, you can take it off, look, is there any number or anything, so I can tell whose it is, what to order. The idea of a mark is something that is going to be physical. A physical change will take place in people that is somehow going to demonstrate their reliance upon, their dependence upon, their connection with this first beast, the Antichrist. Something physical about them will change. Is it visible? I don't know.
I don't know if it is. There's all these questions. Is it a tattoo? I don't know. Is it a chip? I don't know. Is it a, you know, I can tell you, I don't know why the Bible doesn't tell me. But the Bible tell me that something physically about me has changed. Is it obvious? I have absolutely no idea. Somehow it's connected with 666. What does that mean? I have absolutely no idea. So I won't get rich making a book and people won't be downloading the sermon to say, see, he answered what it is. I have no idea. But whatever is the case, people who are alive during those days will completely understand, because followers of God in those days will not want to take this mark, whatever it is. What could it be? There's a jillion different kinds of ways 666 can be presented or written or communicated. So I don't know what any of how any of this is going to come into play. People used to joke in the 80s that it had connection with your name. And so very popularly, RONALD WILSON REAGAN, Ronald Wilson Reagan. Six letters. Reagan was the Antichrist. When Bill Clinton came to be president, I got pamphlets in the mail showing Bill Clinton in a suit of armor on a horse. Bill Clinton is the Antichrist. Who knows? I don't know anything. So you want to be careful to not say things that are not true. This man is very, very popular. He is a South American pastor who has started some churches in Florida. Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda, you ever heard of him? He was very popular about 10 years ago, but his stuff is still there because his churches are still around. And I don't know if you can tell on the left lapel of his shirt. Can you tell? Those are three sixes. Because he said that Jesus appeared to him. Oh, there it is. The spirit that is in me is the same spirit that was in Jesus of Nazareth. He says Jesus talked to him and said that 666 has been misunderstood as the number of God. So he has a tattoo of three sixes on his body. I've seen pictures of tattoos of his followers who get sixes on their neck, on their hand. He has some of his followers that have three sixes tattooed on their foreheads because they say it's the mark of God. I don't recommend that. You won't hear me telling you to get a tattoo. Don't get John 3:16 tattooed on your head, I guess, unless you really like to, but we won't go there. But there's a lot of people who have been extreme in trying to understand these things. What's the point of all of this? New life. I know that's a stock picture, but I left that there because the idea is there's new life and change is going to happen. Change happens. Change needs to be the main characteristic of us. For us, sometimes problems we see have little to do with us. God's working with others, and we may be present to be his hands to help them. Barbara talked about incident with family. Things happen, we're going to be there. The lesson of this era is like Daniel in Babylon, in connected with Persia. Somehow you need to be there to do what God has for you. Sometimes the best thing we can do is be a voice for God. Jesus told his disciples to be shining like lights in the world in Matthew chapter 5 so that others can hear the truth. As we ride the wind of the moment, again, looking at Daniel, our personal testimony will be the most important thing we can give other people. Why are you different? Why don't you agree? Because I think Jesus is the King of the world. There will always be people who, quote unquote, go along and, like it or not, even on the road to hell. So that's what we see here in this era, is people who are going along with the flow, even if all they're going along to is they're going on to hell. For us, a distinctive of us, a key distinctive of us, is that we follow God. We recognize, as we've sung about, as we've read about, that Jesus has come to save us. Why? Because left to our own devices, if God did not interdict with us, we would not go to heaven when we die. But God tells us that we are his servants, that he has saved us, that he has reached down from heaven. And as Albert Pujols' doctrinal statement said, Jesus died in our place as our substitution. Jesus Christ propitiated, satisfied God's wrath for us, and his body was our propitiation. He was our sacrifice. Jesus was our propitiation, and his body was the place where it took place.
Jesus satisfied the penalty of God's sin in our lives. He became sin who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. So everything we have, our deliverance in this time and our hope for a future with God in heaven, is because of Jesus Christ. So we regularly do, for us once a month, second Sunday morning, we observe the Lord's table to recognize the value, the power, and our need of the Lord's death. It causes us to realize that we don't have all the power over our lives. It causes us to realize that God's Word, God's living Word, and God's written Word should have control over us. The Holy Spirit moves in us, and our connection with Jesus is the most important thing about us.